Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
Welcome, everybody, to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. This is episode 99.2. No, not 100 yet. We're saving that in our back pocket for the big season preview episode. So, but if you really want to count numbers, this is probably around episode 131 or so, including all of our bonusodes and interviews. But we can play with numbers. You know, it's... Yeah, they just had Super Bowl 50. I think I actually heard a rumor that it was actually Super Bowl 53, but they decided to go ahead and back it off a couple there, so I think they slipped one by us. But I'm your host, Chad King, for tonight, and joining me is one Eric Nathanson. Eric, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. It's funny. The Super Bowl wasn't even named that the first 2 years, so, you know, they fudged the numbers, too.
Yeah,
they...
see? There you go. There should be, what, 48, actually, not even 53.
Correct. They retroactively, so.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I think we'll save the hundo episode for the big fireworks and the full cuss word, not safe for work episode. But I think we're going to go ahead and go with our first episode in, what, 5 weeks, I think, or so? It's been a bit of a slow off season after the flurry of activity that we got to report on last episode. But
this might be – is this the first one of the year?
I think it might actually be. Yeah, I think
look
we did late December.
Here. Yeah.
So, because about 6 weeks, 5 weeks, something like that. So, okay, so Happy New Year, everyone, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
2016, we are officially in the even year era. So, I think a lot of Giants fans are actually very, very excited right now because the Super Bowl is over, which always rings in the baseball season. Everybody always turns their eye to the freshly cut grass and the crack of the bat. So how excited are you, man?
I'm really excited. It's funny, my whole Twitter timeline, I don't know if you had yours open at the end of the Super Bowl, all the baseball people, because, you know, that's the majority of the people, my whole timeline lit up with, all right, on to baseball, you know, and it's time for spring training. We're 9 days away from pitchers and catchers right now.
Oh, man, I'm stoked. But I guess we can talk about 90 seconds or so on the Super Bowl for those who do care. But, you know, I was a little surprised. The Denver Broncos defense definitely held their own. They put up. They didn't shut up. So, well, they shut up the Panthers and Cam Newton.
But, yeah.
I mean, that was a hell of a performance. It wasn't a very exciting game, but, man, they dominated.
Yeah, that was an ugly game. And I think it was ugly because their defense was so good. Plus, it was sloppy. So many turnovers at different times. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect that. I thought Carolina, it seemed like everybody ahead of time was talking Carolina. And I was rooting Carolina because Ron Rivera – I'm a Bears fan. So Ron Rivera is a connection.
Right.
Charles Tillman's on that team. There was somebody else on that team. Greg Olsen, you know, so it was kind of the thing to do. I don't like Peyton Manning. I haven't ever liked Peyton Manning,
mm-hmm.
although I didn't really care that he won. You know, it was kind of nice to see the team do it despite him. You know, he got to kind of coast on out himself, but it was an ugly game. I mean, that was that the first half took 2 hours.
Yeah, no, it was an ugly game. And, you know, I myself didn't really have a vested interest in it. I didn't care who won, to be honest. Ron Rivera, like you said, has Chicago roots. For whom he played for. He's also from Salinas, which is just south of where I live in Gilroy. So there's that local connection here. So there are a lot of local media articles about him and where he grew up and a lot of family and friends that were rooting for him. So, you know, there was one part of me that was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool, you know, to see him win. But on the other hand, you know, I'm not a Peyton Manning hater per se, but right. I kind of like the whole cleanliness of a Super Bowl quarterback winning and then retiring, kind of like John Elway did. So there's a little bit of like, oh, that's kind of cool in that regard. Regardless of what you think about Peyton Manning, I just thought it would be a nice exit to his career. And of course, we don't know what his decision will be, but
I totally agree with that. It really was like, trust me, I get Peyton Manning's career, but as a Bears fan, he burned me for his first Super Bowl title.
As somebody
who grew up going to Northwestern games, the year after they went to the Rose Bowl, they went to the Citrus Bowl and faced Peyton Manning in Tennessee, and he threw for 4 touchdowns and blew out the Wildcats.
Yeah.
So like, I've got just a long history of him burning. I respect him. You know, I hope he does retire after this. And
it's kind of like respecting Clayton Kershaw. It's
like, but I don't know. I like Kershaw. I like Kershaw better already. Kershaw drinks something that's better than Budweiser.
Ah, that was a shameless plug, man. He did that a couple of times. It was like, dude, this isn't a Disneyland commercial for Budweiser.
That's you. That's you. Literally, that's what I tweeted. I said the new I'm going to Disney. Yeah, I swear to you. The new I'm going to Disney World is I'm going to go drink a lot of Budweiser.
Yeah, that was the first thought that crossed my mind. I was like, oh, dude, you could have been so classy in that interview. And then you said that.
Well, and it came after he kissed Papa John. So it's kind of like Peyton Manning rented his forehead out as a billboard for the last bit.
Oh, you know, he's thinking forward as a businessman, I think.
He has to be, because apparently current players can't shill for beer, so maybe he really was thinking ahead.
You know, it's like, dude, come on, get something with some alcohol in it, you know?
Yeah.
Budweiser.
Well, the Super Bowl for me, you know, I'm more baseball than football. I'm baseball over every other sport.
Oh, yeah.
For me, though, it wasn't a fulfilling conclusion to the season. You know what I mean? It didn't leave you fulfilled like, oh, that was a great Super Bowl, or oh, what a good game, or oh, we saw a great matchup. You know, you just kind of went away feeling like, eh, okay. You know, it wasn't exciting in any way, shape, or form. There was
nothing like last year.
It's down the field. Yeah, not at all. It was competitive, but it wasn't. I mean, even Manning, the guy had like 12 three and outs.
Yeah. No matter how, you know, last year obviously had that incredible ending with the interception in the end zone. Of course, that was with two teams that I pretty much hate the most in both divisions or both conferences. So it was kind of like if the Dodgers faced the Yankees in the World Series, you know, it's kind of like, shit, I don't want either one of them to win, you know, but at least it was an entertaining game. But yesterday was not very entertaining.
It's funny because I think we spent like almost a half hour on the game last year, and we're going to move on from this in a moment just because Peyton Manning retiring is just about kind of it. Nothing really else came of it.
Yeah. So Denver won. They are your Super Bowl 50 champions, and it was actually kind of cool because I do live just about 30, 35 miles south of Levi Stadium here, and the Blue Angels flew, 12 o'clock over our backyard. It was unbelievable. It wasn't like they were off in the distance. I mean, it was like we heard this rumble, this just not a sonic boom, but just the and my kids were outside playing with Play-Doh and they're like, Dad, what is that noise? And I was like, oh my God. And I wasn't sure. I didn't put two and two together, and I ran outside, and sure enough, the freaking Blue Angels flew right over our heads. We could read the tail numbers and everything. I mean, they were so close. It was just like,
oh, wow.
Dude! My kids were so excited. You know, so, they didn't think a war was starting, but they were like, what the heck was that?
Were they as low as they pretty much were when they went over the stadium then?
Almost. They were almost that. I mean, you could read everything. I could see the cockpit. I could read the tail numbers. I could see. I mean, it was pretty incredible. So, and then they, you know, they have to basically be in a holding pattern. They were doing a figure eight is what I heard later. So they passed by over us a second time, and I did get video of them. They were a little off to the right this time, but they still flew over our house a second time. And that's about when the military was singing God Bless America or whatever before the national anthem by Lady Gaga. So I was like, okay, kids, they're going to be heading north now because they'll be there really soon. And my daughter was like, well, but it's like a 45-minute drive to Levi Stadium. And I said, honey, these jets are traveling at hundreds of miles an hour. They're going to be the Levi's in like 3 minutes. What? No way. I want to fly in a jet. It was great because they could see it outside. Then we went inside and they saw the same exact jets flyover on national TV, and they're like, "Ooh, we just saw those Jets. That's crazy." So it was pretty cool.
That's what they're going to remember the Super Bowl for.
That was the high. Well, they didn't watch any of the game.
Right. But they're going to remember that. This is going to be something they remember because of that one. Oh, you remember that Super Bowl when the planes went over? They're totally going to remember that.
Yeah, no, my daughter's 10. She likes football. She actually watches Niner games with me. And she loves the Warriors. Just absolutely. We watched the fourth quarter against the Thunder the other night, Saturday night. And that was fantastic. But I admit, during the game, we had Grandma and Grandpa over. They had Play-Doh. They had food. They had all sorts of activities. And she just casually would pass by. What's the score? Oh, the Broncos are winning? Oh, I guess that's good. And then she'd walk off. Yeah. But anyway, okay, enough about the Super Bowl. We want to talk about Giants.
Yeah, it's on to baseball. Since they're done, it's our turn to get
that is officially. I mean, it really is. Every year when the Super Bowl is over, it's like, man, spring training is just about to start. So where I want to start tonight is, that not much has happened in terms of transactions regarding the Giants since we last recorded, because that flurry was in, December. But I do want to get your initial thoughts now that things have settled down quite a bit and a lot of other teams have made their main transactions and signings, although there are still notable free agents out there, by the way, which we're not going to talk about tonight. But I don't know. I'm trying to be objective, but looking at what the Giants did this offseason and reading and watching MLB Network and all of the other sites, I'm pretty much consistent with most of their gradings. They're putting the Giants as one of the top, performers in the offseason, top three, really. And some people put them 1, 2, 3, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're all giving them A's and A minuses. I haven't heard anyone bash their signings this year. And so what are your thoughts?
Wow, I didn't go as high as an A or an A minus. I give them a B plus right now.
That's okay. I mean, it could be
well,
one point
funny.
Away from an A minus.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be the 0.9. It could be as close as Bernie and Hillary. Giants, the things that they did, they're the only ones I looked at. It's funny you mentioned the other teams. Like, I don't know who else you put up there. Like, the Cubs, maybe you put up there as having a good offseason. Mm-hmm. The Diamondbacks, you would put up there as having a good offseason.
Diamondbacks put up there. Yeah.
But the Diamondbacks, everybody's like worried about the Shelby Miller contract and things like that. So,
and their bullpen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I thought the Giants just. Focused just on for their needs. I say B plus because I think they still need to make a move for somebody on the bench. Mm-hmm. I know Kelby's there, and I know Adrianza is still there, but there's nobody in there. And it's funny, I know we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But other than that, they signed Span, Smarja, and Cueto. The Span signing, I really, really like. Have they said anything about whether or not Angel Pagan is willing to move to left field yet? Is Span going to play center or left?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And in fact, you brought up the point that they did sign Span after our last podcast. So we have not talked about that yet. But they have not officially said anything. So the rumors are is that Span will take center field. But again, they're just rumors. We don't know exactly what's going to happen because, Angel, God love him. He is one who is a very prideful person. And so I could understand in his camp, maybe he might be a little upset that he could be asked to play left field in lieu of Span. But at the same time, I think you have to be objective and look at your last few years with he's always had injury history, even with the Mets. I mean, that's why, when the Giants signed him, a lot of people were saying, oh, he's going to get injured the entire duration of his career. And he has been injured much of his Giants tenure, but he's also had incredible stretches that have propelled the Giants to, their glory, especially in 2012. So I think, you would have to look at it objectively as a player and say, well, I'm not being demoted to a utility bench player, but I might go to left field. So what, so I guess I wonder how much pushback him and his agent are going to give to the Giants if they are going to basically say, hey, look, Angel, can you scoot on over, 100 feet to your right? I'm not sure. I think that Span's defense is pretty incredible. Angel's has slipped over the last couple of years. He's not a bad center fielder, not at all. But we've all seen him take bad angles, get bad jumps and all that stuff. But we also had Marvin Bernard playing center field, too. So. You know, we've seen worse.
Yeah.
And so I personally, if I were to start the team tomorrow, or write a lineup tomorrow, I would put Span in center and Pagan in left.
Well, I mean, the thing, it's Pagan's walk year, and he's 34 years old. He's got, it's 11, I'm looking at it, 11.25 million on the books right now. Yeah. You would hope that he understands that he got his big payday already and that he should not need to play for some huge contract this time around, that no matter what, he can get 5 or 6 million to be somebody's, you know, role player, off the bench guy next year. I think he, if he's willing to accept that and just shift to left and know that he's just going to kind of, you know, be out there and not be in charge, I think it'll go smoothly. I hope he doesn't put up a fight. And I honestly think if Pagan shifts to left, I think Blanco will end up in left field again anyway.
Oh, well, yeah, he's going to get hurt again anyway. So,
Even if he doesn't, Blanco might outplay him. And even Bochy, yeah, he's loyal to his guys, but like what Pagan did for them was 4 years ago at this point. You know, what Blanco's done for them has more recently been a guy to really help carry them to a championship.
No, Blanco's war, if you extend it out to 162, is pretty damn good. He is not a bad little player. But, you know, that being said, I think that center field, on average, you're going to get a few more injuries in there, defensively related, not offensively related, because you are going to be going for more balls. You're going to be running more. You're going to be sprinting more. You're going to be potentially diving more and jamming shoulders and that kind of thing. So because it is his walk year, and they're not, you know, most teams are signing you for your offense, not necessarily for your defense, even though that is a bonus. You know, I don't think playing left field is going to hurt his market value. So I think it's a bad... It's not a bad assignment to take. So
yeah, I hope he takes it. It would make this team cohesive because Span might take over the top of the order as well.
Yeah, because you want to be a team player, right? Yeah, and Span's going to be hitting lead. Now that we can definitely say, Span's going to be hitting leadoff. I don't think there's any question about that, unless he has. Well, obviously, if he gets injured, we're not talking injuries right now. Unless he like shits the bed in spring training for whatever reason. And Pagan is, you know, hitting 450 or something, they might look at it a different way. But unless that happens, I think Span has the leadoff locked up right now.
Yeah, he's got to.
We'll see. So, yeah, I think the Giants had obviously a very good offseason.
So you have a letter grade?
I put it A-.
Okay.
Yeah, I put it A-. I mean, I didn't think there was too much more they could have done. We've talked about this before. I think that it was great that they went after, what's his face? Greinke. But at the same time, what they got instead of one Greinke, they got Smarja and Cueto. And those two guys, in terms of wins above replacement, are going to exceed, in my mind, and they should, war from just one Greinke. So I think that's fantastic. Plus, they needed the bodies, too. I mean, it's not like they just needed one starter. They needed two starters, period. So they got two above-average guys. One, well, Samarja's above average, but Cueto is far above average. So I think that's great.
Well, you know, it's funny. I wasn't on the one with you and Willie. I think he is going to be the one to surprise us all. I think Smarja is going to be the guy to have like just an unbelievable season. Not like a 2.2 ERA or some crap like that. But I think Cueto is going to live up to what we expect. I think Smarja is the one that's going to drop his ERA by like a run and a half or something like that.
I totally agree.
Or two full runs. And it's going to all of a sudden he's going to be like in the conversation. He's going to be a guy that, you know, oh, you trust him on the mound in big situation type things. I think he's going to fit. He seemed to fit the culture. I think he's going to fit right in.
You know, I didn't know much about Smarja other than his stats. I hadn't really heard him speak too much, but his press conference was one of the most entertaining press conferences I've ever heard or watched. He was engaging, funny, sincere, and it looks like, oh my God, he is one of the lunatics. He fits right in with this team, and he wanted to come here. He even said that he had to play his cards close to his vest because this was his number one destination.
Well, you know, this is the thing that blows my mind right now. In his mind, he said, I want to win World Series. So where do I go to win World Series? And he chose the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just crazy to think about. Just 6 years ago, he chose the Giants because he thinks that's his best shot to win the World Series year after year right now.
And I know we've had some listeners tweet at us, you know, saying that they're not extremely happy with it, the signing, because of his stats last year. They cite things like he gave up the most home runs per nine innings. He gave up, he had the second highest ERA in the AL from, you know, for qualified pitchers. Blah, blah, blah. They're not wrong. They're statistically, they're completely correct. But you have to think of a couple of things. Number one, he's a horse. One of the GMs that was undisclosed said that after his physical, it looked like his shoulder was that of a baby. That's a direct quote. He has like, it's like a virgin shoulder. I mean, he has zero damage, no wear and tear. So this is why this guy can pitch 200 innings. So he's an innings eater. That's going to help the bullpen. Even if he's got a, he's an off day and he's given up four or five runs, if it's one of those games where it's 6-5, well, he can still pitch and save the bullpen, right?
It's kind of like bum in that respect.
Yeah,
it really
so
is.
That's a really valuable addition. Number two, obviously he's going to a pitcher's park. We all know this. Same with Cueto, same with everyone. Number three, he figured out his mechanical flaw that he had last year. So him and a couple other people figured it out, and his last two starts were fantastic at the end of last year. And he's convinced that he's figured out what he was doing. He was tipping pitches. And so he says he's corrected that. So we assume that. And, of course, number four, Dave Righetti and company have just such a great track record of bringing pitchers in and making them so much better than they have ever been. And they're going to keep on him, not only with his mechanical flaw, but other things to improve his game. And so I'm totally with you, Eric. I really do think that, you know, yeah, he had a 4.89 ERA in the American League. Well, just going to the National League, it's going to reduce to, a half a run right off the top. We know this. Then you add AT&T Park. That's another 0.2 or something like that. He's probably hovering around 4 without changing anything.
Yeah, he was pitching at U.S. Cellular, and let me tell you from experience, that place, the ball just absolutely flies. It'll get in a gap and just go.
Yeah, and plus, the other thing they noted, the defense behind him was, I think, the second worst-rated defense in the major leagues. And the Giants have one of the top-rated defenses in the major leagues. So that's going to save him some runs as well.
Yeah, that's probably like half a run on the long haul itself.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you really – it's an additive – kind of algorithm, if you will. I absolutely totally believe this guy is going to have a sub 4 ERA, and I think that's an easy bet he's going to be under 4. I think it's possible he's going to be in the mid 3s. I think it's very, very possible, and it wouldn't shock me if he hovers in the low 3s, but you know, we're going to have to wait and see. That's what we're hoping. We don't know. I mean, another scout I heard said, oh yeah, I think he's going to do great with the Giants, but he's going to be very inconsistent because he's the type of pitcher that he goes in streaks where he's going to have 3 or 4 fantastic starts in a row and then just lay an absolute egg, which is going to completely inflate his ERA. So his ERA may be hovering, you know, close to 4 or high 3s, but you'd rather concentrate all of your runs into one bad start. Because overall, you're going to be better off as a team, right?
Vogie was like that.
Yeah, if you give up 2 runs, 2 runs, 1 run, 8 runs, 2 runs, 2 runs, 1 run, 7 runs, well, you're winning most of those ball games.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I'm excited about it.
Peavy's like that, too.
Oh, Peavy's totally like that.
Well, it's funny. All right, so I said they were pending a bench move, and that rolled right into the next thing that you had up here in the pre-show notes is Juan Uribe still out there.
Yeah.
And people have been kind of wanting to see Juan Uribe because, I mean, he's Juan Uribe. Do you think they need to sign anybody else?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously, I agree with you. I think they need another bench player. I don't know if Juan Uribe is that guy. I think part of it's nostalgia. He did hit 14 home runs last year.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Yeah, no, really it's did. I mean, look at what the Giants hit last year.
Oh,
not many guys hit 14. So he's definitely added pop off the bench. He has experience. He has playoff experience, all those things. But it looks like the Giants are a little wary of what he's demanding. And what's funny is that his agent is demanding kind of a two-tiered structure. If you sign him, you got to tell me what you're going to sign him as, a starter or a reserve. If he's a reserve, he's going to earn X amount. If he's a starter, he's going to earn X amount. So Apparently, they're demanding more than $3 million a year if he's a bench player or utility player. Now, to me, I think that's fine. $3 million is pocket change to the Giants. And you have a known quantity, a player who, okay, he was loved by the Giants fans, and then he wasn't loved by the Giants fans, so, because he went to the enemy. But he found no success with the enemy, and maybe he's kind of going, maybe I should go back to these guys. But, Juan Uribe is not going to make or break their season.
Okay? Wait, didn't he win a ring this year? Wasn't he a Met by the end of the season?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. He won a he did.
I know. I was just curious because he actually beat up on the Dodgers like on two different occasions during last year after they traded them.
Yeah, no, though. Then they traded him to the Mets, and then he won his, you know, National League ring. But obviously...
Yeah, he went to Atlanta at one point, too, I think, during the year. And then he went with
Dodgers to Atlanta to the Mets.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, like, so he got his NL pennant. You know, ring or whatever, but he obviously
Yeah, that's right. The Royals won. Hello, Nathanson.
Hello, Nathanson.
No, I would take him. I would if, you know, I don't think he's going to get injured and he's 37, and I'd rather take some kid who's coming to spring training.
Yeah.
They got a lot
of non-roster invitees. Like, yeah. You know, we're not even going to go into that tonight, by the way, everyone, but, you know, Christian Arroyo and the likes of those guys, and those could
Kyle Blanks,
they could easily be, you know, someone coming up in September and helping the Giants. I mean, we don't know. Could be the next Duffy. We don't know. So, if they sign him, great. If not, I think there's plenty of people that can fill in and do a pretty admirable job. So,
Hydrogen. Sorry.
So the Giants have committed quite a bit of money over the next six seasons. This year, 2016, they're going to be number five in payroll. And it's so funny because they've been here for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. But still, as a lifelong Giants fan, it's just really weird to think of the Giants as in the top five of payroll. I know that's the norm now, but and they can completely afford it. And they are a cash cow of a team, which is fantastic. That's what you want as a fan. But at the same time, you know, the Royals were like 15th this year and won the World Series. Okay, they're fifth this year. Right now, and this is committed payroll. Obviously, things change throughout the year at the end of the season. But right now, with their long-term contracts, they're fourth in committed payroll for 2017, fourth again in 18, third in 19, second in 20, and first in 21. Those numbers will change. We know this. Yankees and Dodgers and those kind of guys don't have as many long-term contracts, and they will sign short-term that will exceed the Giants. But that tells me that the Giants have a lot of payroll on the books coming up, and that could hinder them in the future. So, you know, with the likes of Posey and Kane and others. So, you know, what do the Giants do about this?
I think that it's actually part of the philosophy. I think that they're kind of all in on Bochy, Posey, Bumgarner, Sabian, Evans. I think that Larry Bear, I think this comes from the top down. I think that they've all structurally realized, look at this, we've got this window here. Let's try to secure this window, and we'll go down as a legacy, you know, which they already are. We know that. But we'll go down in the history of baseball as one of the all-time greats, and I think that that's what they're just kind of trying to shoot for. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to lock up the key pieces like the ones I just mentioned as far as Posey and Bumgarner. Crawford's one that now enters the conversation as somebody who's locked up long-term. Yeah. I mean, Crawford's signed – he's going to be making $15.2 million in 2020. You know, Bumgarner signed through 19. Posey's at least
at a
through
deal,
20.
By the way.
Yeah, I know. This is great. I can't believe I'm looking at these numbers. 9-9, 11-7, 12-12. Those are the next 4 years for Bob. That's what a steal. Those are his prime years too. He's 26 years old right now. It's ridiculous. But I think he understands what's going on as well. I think
but
it's
he doesn't
an organization.
Care about the money. Either.
No, I don't think he does. He has enough to do what he needs to do in life. It's an organizational outlook, I think, is what it is. I mean, you said it, that the Royals were 15th. Back in 2010, I don't remember what the Giants were.
They weren't fifth.
Right. They're probably middle of the pack somewhere themselves. And I don't think – I mean, obviously, but without two more titles, there's no way we're looking at fourth, third, second, first over the next 5 years. That wouldn't happen. I think that they see this window. I think that they're going to try to – you know, Bochy, he signed his extension. He's around for another, what, 4 or 5 years at this point? I don't remember what his numbers are. I think they all kind of look at this as this is their chance. They've looked at up till 21, 22. That's their window. Their 10 to 12 year window. I just think that that's what it is, and I have no problem with it. You know, for my lifetime, and I think you would possibly agree, you know, if they win another 2-3 titles and then they don't win anything the rest of my life, I think I'll probably be okay.
I think I would be okay if they could win another 2 or 3 titles in the next 5 or 6 years. Oh my God, that would just, yeah, I'd be like, you know, when I'm, you know, 89 years old and on my deathbed. And then, you know, I don't think I could complain that the Giants haven't won a World Series in 30 years because they won six when I was in my 40s, you know.
But it would be like guys from the 50s talking and the 60s talking about the Yankees when they had their string of dominance. You know, that's who we would be. That's the kind of grandparents we would be, is being like, I remember when, you know.
Yeah.
Back when the Giants.
Great grandpa, the Giants suck right now. They haven't won in years. Like, well, back in my day.
Buster Posey. Yeah, but
they only spent $195 million on these guys.
Yeah, I honestly, I think, and this sounds callous, but I think Larry Bird's trying to cash in the most that he can.
No, I think so.
While you know, he's one of the all of them, even the big money. There's a big money. I think you were the one who mentioned it. You know, all the owners just want to cash in now while they can, because you know, 10, 15 years from now, they're not going to be able to keep doing this.
Yeah, I think. I mean, some Giants fans were a little concerned about these numbers, saying they're, oh, it's going to strap them for the future years, but they have enough cash to deal with it. And secondly, what would you rather see? They were 30th in payroll? No. I mean, that means they're not – no, they're not spending – they are spending money. They do care about their product. They're trying, like you said, to, you know, optimize this window of opportunity that they have right now with future Hall of Famers. I mean, they're not locks yet, but they are on the trajectory – with Bumgarner and Posey and the likes, you know?
And Bochy. I mean, wow, you're right. I wrote down three guys, Bochy, Posey, Bumgarner. That should all be Hall of Famers.
Oh, well, Bochy's a lock already.
Yeah, I agree.
But the other two are not, just because they got to have more time. But, you know, they're definitely on the trend. So, speaking of money, Brandon Belt and the Giants are headed towards arbitration. They do have a hearing scheduled for Wednesday, so less than 2 days from now. Belt filed for $7.5 million. The Giants filed for $5.3 million. So that's a $2.2 million difference. Now, the last time the Giants actually went to arbitration was with A.J. Pierzynski, back in 2004. That's how long it's been. It's been 12 years. So the Giants do not have a history of doing this. Specifically with a fan favorite like Belt, specifically with their history of success over the last several years, I cannot fathom an alternate universe in which the Giants would allow this to actually go to a hearing. Can you?
No, I can see them meeting somewhere in the middle somewhere, giving them like 6-5 and just calling it off.
Yeah.
I could totally see something like that happening.
I mean,
I'd be fine with that.
First of all, I get the Giants aren't going to give him 7.5. I understand that. Now, the difference is only 2.2, which is, again, is pocket change to the Giants. However, I agree with you. I think that they meet somewhere in the middle plus $500,000, you know, or something. So they're edging closer to Brandon's side. Like, you know, instead of 6.5, you give him 6.8. 6.9, something that's close. And I know Belt's camp could say, well, then what the hell? We still want 7.5. But I think at the same time, he's eligible for arbitration next year as well. He's a free agent after the 2017 season. So the Giants have him locked up this year and next year. So if they, you know, they dish out an extra million plus for him this year, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, why not? So they did do this with Belt, I think 2 years ago, I think, with arbitration, where they settled it up. It was down to the last hour before the hearing, and they got it done, though. So I think the same thing's going to happen. I don't think they may not settle this tomorrow, but I think they're going to do it right before the hearing. So, you know, don't fear Giants fans. He's obviously going to be a Giant this year.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. Because the arbitrator, if for those of you not familiar with it, if it does go to an arbitration hearing, there's a third party, the arbitrator, who will be there, and then that person will decide if Brandon Belt is worth either of those salaries. He or she does not split the difference. They do not create a number. It is a choice. So it's binary. And so the only problem that arises from arbitration decisions is hurt feelings. And that's what the Giants, I think, want to try and avoid. So I think they need to try and throw as much money as they can to Brandon Belt that's still under $7.5 million and feel like both sides won.
Yeah, he's the starting first baseman for a while. He's not going anywhere. Yeah. I don't think anybody will hurt anybody's feelings.
I don't think so. I mean, if it went to arbitration, it could be, but at the same time, I think most people understand that Brandon Belt is a very salt of the earth kind of guy. He's from Texas. He's funny as hell. He's very sincere in his interviews. We've talked to him multiple times for very long occasions. He loves just talking shop. He is one of my favorite interviews, to be honest, because he's totally engaged, totally engaged. And to me, that tells me that he's, you know, the money is important, but he also has a representative, right? So it's not him telling the Giants, I need $7.5 million. He's like, hey, right, you know, Mr. Agent, man, do what you can.
And the market, out of this. And the market kind of sets the price too in comparison to other arbitration eligible players that are on the same tier that he's on.
Yeah.
So there's a certain thing that, you know, his representative is basing the things off of.
Yeah. And given the salaries of today, I saw a lot of people tweet out saying, well, he doesn't deserve that money because of his concussion history and all that stuff like that and his freak injury history. And it's like, you can't count that against him. You just can't. Freak injuries happen that are not his fault. Concussions happen that were not his fault.
The only time I can remember him hurting something in the act of playing baseball that was like something that basically was his doing,
exactly,
was he once strained his hip or his something as he was running out in Arizona on a pop-up behind the bag, and he like strained a hip or his thigh or something like that. Other than that, either somebody else has hit him in the head or somebody else has hit him in what did he break a hand once? Was it a finger?
You know, if this dude was like, you know, pulling hammies all the time.
Right, it's not that.
I'd be like, well, he's got durability issues. He's just been hit with the ugly stick in terms of injuries.
He's Charlie Brown. He's
freaking Charlie Brown. That's a perfect analogy.
I mean, the slumped shoulders and everything.
He's an ugly finder, right? I mean, shit comes his way, and it's just the way it is.
And it might get worse now that Affeldt's gone because nobody else is going to cut themselves or jump off a trampoline.
That's freaking hilarious. Yeah, he doesn't have any kids to pick up, but he definitely could slice his finger, you know, cutting hamburgers in half or something, frozen hamburger patties.
He can grab one of Crawford's kids. They're apparently piling up a litter over
there. Well, yeah, they got three now.
Yeah, it seems like every offseason they're showing us a new one.
Congratulations to the Crawfords. They got three. Yeah. My goodness.
Jeez.
That'd be weird. That'd be weird, like, working a job where, you know, 8 months out of the year, you're like, all right, honey, you've got the kids. I'm outie.
Yeah.
No, but he's a good dad. He's a good dad. We all see that on Instagram and Twitter and everything. So after Belt, we need to talk Timmy because we love talking Timmy. Always. We always do. He's definitely a hot button topic. Clearly, it looks like the odds are that he's not going to be with the Giants. Not necessarily or only because of his past poor performance, but because the Giants don't really need him.
No.
They got their starters. They got their relievers. If they had a big gap in one of those areas, I could understand them taking another flyer on him. Granted, for a much cheaper, you know, bill than what they've paid him the last 3 or 4 years. But
what? $17 million is a bargain. Sorry, go on.
Like how you said that. So yeah, the Giants, you know, look, he's a fan favorite. It's great and all. He's a good marketing tool, but you know, unless something crazy happens, He's not with the Giants this year, and he's still a free agent. And here we are, what, 9 or 10 days before pitchers and catchers report?
Yeah. He hasn't, his showcase. He's got to do his showcase still.
He's got apparently. His showcase coming up, and there's a lot of rumors. Oh, the Yankees are interested and all that stuff. I don't know where the hell he's going, but...
No.
I mean, do you expect him to be with a major league club by opening day?
I don't. I really don't. I think he's going to want to go to a team that doesn't need – I think he – a team he would want to go to doesn't need him in the rotation right now.
Yeah.
And a team that would need him in the rotation I don't think would be on his list. But maybe he's not picky right now. I don't know. Maybe he ends up in Miami or something like that. Who the hell – I don't know how – what their, you know, their hole is. But, you know, I don't – I just – I can't see that he's good enough. I hope he proves me wrong in spring training. I totally do. But I don't see him on a major league roster come opening day.
I mean,
I really
to me,
don't.
He's clearly good enough to be a major leaguer. Where that is in the spectrum of 750 players remains to be seen. But I do think that he's good enough to be, you know, at least a middle reliever on a lower echelon team, clearly. The question is that team interested? And is he willing to take – I mean, he already knows, and his agent knows – that he's going to get a massive pay cut if he does sign. So the question is, you know, how low are they willing to accept? And I think that's the thing. I think it's more of a waiting game. It's more of a chicken game. It's, yeah. You know, he earned, like you said, like whatever, $18 million or, well, no, last year was $20 million, wasn't it? With the Giants?
I don't know.
$18, $20 million.
He fell off the
whatever.
Books finally.
It's freaking more money than you and I will ever earn in 20 lifetimes. So it doesn't matter. But he just... I don't know if his pride is going to get in the way or if teams are just going to stay away from him. I don't know. So
here's my other thought. It was 18 last year. Here's my other thought. If nobody really wants to sign him or if he doesn't want to sign a minor league deal, I mean, is he the kind of guy to go to Japan? I mean, in his personality, I honestly think he's the kind of guy that would be like, yeah, let's go enjoy this and experience a different culture for, you know, a year or two or something like that.
Did you see that Johnny Gomes did that?
No.
Yeah, Johnny Gomes signed in Japan.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
And well,
guy just won a World Series title, too. That's
pretty
awesome.
He just won a World Series. He had that epic trolling speech. During the parade, and he's clearly good enough to be a utility player in the major leagues.
Yeah, he is.
But he said it's not about the money. He wants to go experience new things.
Right. I could see if Timmy feels insulted or if nobody really wants to give him a major league. I mean, somebody's going to have to get injured is the way I feel.
Yeah.
Is there have to be somebody that, you know, some team that has like two arm injuries in camp. And so Timmy comes in and gets a tryout and he makes it on as the fifth guy. But then those guys come back from being healthy. He gets sent down to Toledo and then he doesn't know what the hell to do with himself. So, no, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, he's not hurt.
I could see Japan.
No, I could see Japan. I would not rule that out. But I do think that my guess would be that some way, you know, somewhere halfway through spring training, he's going to get signed by someone.
Yeah,
to at least show up to camp. So with a one of those non-guaranteed roster invites, you know, see how you perform. I mean, it's kind of sad that it could come to that. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully he's signed in the next week or so. And
hey, maybe the Padres will sign him because they figure, well, shit. He always does so well when he's down here. Right.
That's exactly
and
right.
He pitches so well at Petco, so let's see if he gets it.
We're guaranteeing that he cannot no-hit us this season.
Oh, that's my God. I don't know if I can handle it if Timmy were pitching for the Padres against the Giants. That would kill me.
I think it's a guarantee at some point within the next 2 to 5 years, we will see Timmy Lincecum pitching against the Giants. That will happen. It will happen. Be it interleague or regular season NL, I don't know, but I think it will happen. So, and that will be a very weird day.
The best way for us, and it's funny because it is Giants fans. You're all Giants fans that are listening to this podcast. But if for some reason some random-ass Tigers fan is listening, the reason we love Timmy so much, it's like a child's love for their idol. Even as adults, we all kind of have that awe for him because of how he came around and like just as a whirlwind turned things. And it's just this that like special place where he's kind of untouchable. He can do no wrong even when he does wrong. It's kind of like we always kind of look at him in awe, like, oh my God, look what he did with that body. You know, 2008, 2009, 2010, he was unstoppable.
Yep.
He really was. He nobody could hit him. His ball moved like nobody else's. And grown adults were just like, oh my God, Timmy. I mean, we still call him Timmy, for God's sake.
Yeah, you know, but you know, when his velocity was down to 85, 86 last year, you kind of go, all right, well, Ryan Vogelsong pitches faster than you. So that's a problem. Okay. And Vogelsong is not with the Giants anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, he did poor sign, Pirates.
Re-sign with the Pirates again. So good for Vogie. We love him, too.
I'm back to his home state.
So the Giants announced their promotional schedule this year, and there's a huge long list of all the things they're going to be giving away to the fans. But one of the most intriguing giveaways is a Mad Bum bobblehead. Now, you might ask, well, that doesn't sound so intriguing. Why is that so fun? Well, Mad Bum is not pitching or holding a World Series trophy or blowing snot rockets in this bobblehead. No, he has a batting helmet and he is completing a swing. Yes, the Giants are giving away a bobblehead with one of their pitchers hitting. And I think that is the most perfect bobblehead that has ever been made.
They want to capture the essence of Bumgarner hitting before Major League Baseball takes it away from him.
Nah. You know, it's funny is that all that DH hoo-ha happened in between this and last podcast. And
yeah, it did.
It really boiled over for, what, about 2 days or so?
Uh-huh.
When Manfred was basically saying, oh, yeah, this is coming potentially in 2017, and people were losing their shit.
Oh, they did. And
what?
Yeah.
But then, of course, after the internet storm that did follow, he recanted and he was like, yeah, no, never mind. That's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
I love Bum. I love the bobblehead. I think it's great because, you know, it's his Paul Bunyan-esque-ness that comes out with him swinging the bat. I think I just made up a new word. One of you on the podcast. I'm ready for the DH. I want the DH in the National League.
Oh. Oh. Okay, I'm going to end the podcast right now.
It raised such the ire. It raised such the ire. You hear that? You folks hear that? I'm sorry. I think you're all nuts who don't want the designated hitter. I love Madison Bumgarner. And
all
I
right,
love to
so,
watch him.
We are accepting applications for Eric Nathanson's replacement on our podcast. If you would like to submit your application, you can.
for every Bumgarner, there's a Lincecum.
No, I get that. I do. I understand the argument that pitchers are the automatic out. They hit, whatever, 110 last year, 120 last year. There are lots of ugly swings. They are up with a runner on first or second with two outs, and there's basically no hope for a run. I understand the analytical argument. I just want to, number one, preserve a part of the game that I've loved forever, that has been, in essence, part of the game for over 100 years. I don't want to lose that. The American League already abolished that in 1973. I also get the argument that the American League has the advantage in most cases. Whatever. I'm an NL team. Why? That means I should want it. No, I don't. I still want to keep the pitchers hitting. I also believe in 9 players, 9 gloves, 9 bats. I don't like the exclusivity of a big fat guy that can be 41 years old hitting DH. I don't like that at all. I also don't think that the DH, although statistically, yes, of course, it does provide more offense, I don't necessarily want more offense. I love watching pitchers duel. And if that includes, you know, pitching against a weak hitting pitcher with a runner on third and 2 outs, so be it. Both teams have the same advantage, or I should say situation, except, of course, if Bumgarner's hitting. But then you also rid the league of those spectacular moments, which, yes, I know, it's slanted towards Giants fans of guys like Bumgarner, you know, hitting these five home runs a year. I mean, he was on track for, what, 25 home runs if he was a full-time hitter
at
that
pace. The Giants starters hit home runs last year.
Every single one. Yeah,
yeah, they all banged one out last year. I get that. That was a nice speech. That was almost like Kevin Costner and Bull Durham.
Now, I'm not going to say I don't understand the objective argument from DH supporters. I get it. But despite all the objectivity, it's also kind of like losing – you know, your childhood toy, something that you want to keep with you. It's just something that comforts me. I
get that. I do.
Pitchers hitting. I love it. It is something that connects me to the past. It's something that is an irrevocable change. If they do change that, not technically speaking, but it's never coming back. It's not. And the fact that half of the major leagues has it and half of it doesn't, I think that's really unique in American sports. What other major American sport has two conferences or whatever divisions that has slightly different rules? Not in the NBA, not in the NHL, not in the NFL. It's just Major League Baseball. And I think that adds to the uniqueness of the sport. You already have NFL, NHL, and basketball, and even soccer. Are all of their fields identical? Courts identical? They're all identical in terms of their dimensions and everything else. Yeah. Baseball is the only sport in which the home park can dictate what the shape is, how long the fences are, how tall the fences are.
I get that, but nobody's coming to take away, you know, our majestic nook infested, I don't know, ballparks. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
I don't want to say nooks and crannies.
I just think
nobody's coming for your guns, man.
No, the uniqueness of the parks and the oddity of...
I love that.
The separation of the DH and the not DH. I freaking love. And I know...
I think it puts us at
the day that Madison Bumgarner tries to leg out an infield hit and blows his Achilles heel... and is out for the rest of the season, it still won't change my opinion. It just won't.
I get that. If the DH hadn't been around for as long as it has been now, I wouldn't be like this. I never was. Trust me. Two years ago.
No, but it's been 43 years now. Yeah, that's a long time.
And I think it's just – see, I'm not of the let's sanitize it, but I'd be happy if everybody played by the same rules. I even think that the solution to the designated hitter being introduced in the National League is make the rosters 26 players so nobody loses a job, because I totally understand, and that's been the one thing that always always kept me back in saying I'm for the DH, is that there are guys that are fighting for that 25th man on the roster. Somebody like Adrianza, Flan was that guy.
Right.
And I remember I talked to Flan about it, and he said if the DH was around, I never would have made a ball club. And he's right. But if it was a 26-man ball club and you accounted for that guy, then he would still make the ball club as the utility guy. Yeah. You know, I don't know, you know, how they would work. That's like my best solution. I just think it's time everybody played under the same rules. It's not about the scoring with me. It's more that it seems like the challenge – pitchers have it tougher in the American League. They just do.
Oh, they certainly do.
Like, I'd like to see Kershaw not get three free outs a game. I'd like to see Kershaw earn those three more outs.
Okay, so how about the American League?
Flip it around a little bit.
So how about the American League abolishes the DH and then they're even?
That I'd be fine with, too. I'd be totally fine with. But realistically, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, of course not. Because then you actually remove DHs from Major League Baseball.
Right, then you take jobs away. So I'm not for that. You know, this is America, damn it.
Blame Obama.
Exactly. He's on his way out anyway. Doesn't matter.
It's an age old argument, you know, for the last 40 plus years, and we're gonna keep talking about it. And even if and when
we've talked about it.
And even if and when the NL, you know, adopts the DH, I am not going to quit baseball. You know, I see a lot of fans going, "That's it, I'm never watching baseball again." It's like, bullshit. No, you will. You just don't like it as much. Okay? You're getting your second favorite ice cream. You'll still eat it.
Yeah,
you know?
But then 15, 20, 25 years later, you won't even notice. Like
yeah,
the
two-point conversion
was introduced in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
You know, do you think kids today know that? They probably figure that they could have had a two-point conversion in Super Bowl III. They don't.
Basketball fans said the same thing about the three-point shot.
Three-point line, right?
Yeah. I mean, it just, look, it's – we get it. You know, all sports evolve. It's just that baseball has been – probably the least to evolve, and that some people say that's a good thing, some people say that's a bad thing. But in this case, I think it's a good thing just because it has the uniqueness of being the game of all the major sports of being closest to what it was 50, 70, 90 years ago. You know,
Fair. You
cannot say that about the other sports. And does that mean anything? No, to a lot of people, it doesn't. Because they say, well, change is good and all that stuff. I understand that. But I'm just, you know, you throw out those old terms about baseball purists, quote unquote. And I'm definitely not all the way to the left in terms of purists, but I'm definitely in that camp. So, you know, I definitely like to see it stay at least for a little while longer. But all right. So it came out in December. And we might have briefly talked about this last episode. I can't remember. But
yeah, I can't remember.
Bovada.com released their initial World Series odds. And they're one of the leading sports betting websites in the world. And they put the Cubs and Giants as the top teams at 6-1 odds. And so, you know, as a Giants fan, you're like, oh, good. Look at that. Even some sports people thought that the Giants have a good chance of winning the World Series, and probably has nothing to do with the even year thing because they're looking at it objectively, of course, with their signings and everything else. But what's interesting is that the lines, of course, have moved since then. It's been a couple of months. And as of tonight, the Cubs are actually still number one. In fact, their odds have even gotten better. Well, it depends how you look at it, but better in terms of the best chances in terms of the line. And of course, this is determined by the betting public, right? This is not determined by Bovada. This is about how many bets are placed on each team.
Yeah, I mean, they throw out the initial line, like you said. The one it was they were plus 600.
Yeah,
which in betting parlance, if you bet 100 to win 600 at that point.
Exactly. So as of today, the Cubs are 400, so 4-1 basically. The Giants have conversely slipped to 750, so that's 7.5-1, which is almost twice as bad as the Cubs, even though they're still number two. I think number three was it the Red Sox or was it?
No, it's the Mets now.
Oh, no, it's Mets. Red Sox. Right.
Yes. That's the Mets correct. Come in. I still have it right here. The Mets come in at 800, so 8-1 on the Mets. The Red Sox are at 12-1. Dodgers are at 14-1. Nats are at 16, and so are the Blue Jays and Royals.
And that's then the you top. Noted something that was very interesting. What do the bottom six teams have in common?
Yeah, they're all National League ball clubs. And now that I look at it even further, it's two from each division.
Think about that. I mean, there are only 15 National League ball clubs, and six of the 15 are in the bottom six. That's crazy.
Well, they've had this discussion lately about teams tanking and things like that. But six, that means nine teams are fighting for the five playoff spots in the National League.
Right.
That's it, which is kind of ridiculous to think about. And they are kind of tanking. At least the Braves are, and the Phillies maybe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Rockies, Braves, Phillies, Padres, Reds, and Brewers are all – what is that? So that's plus – 10,000. So what would that be?
It's 100-1.
No, I think it's 1,000-1.
It's no, because it's 100 to. Is it 1,000-1?
That's 1,000-1 because it's 10,000 there.
Oh shit! God, that's really 10,000. That's really bad.
Yeah, and they're all National League teams, and these are teams that the Giants, especially the Rockies and Padres, they get to play 19 times a season, which is kind of awesome. Giants open in Milwaukee this season as well, which is kind of nice. They the bats might be able to wake up right away.
Yeah,
but it is interesting. The Cubs and the Giants are the top two on this list, and who would have thought that? Just coming from out of this postseason, we talked about it earlier, the grades and things like that, that the Giants and the Cubs would be the two teams that people are thinking about.
Yeah, the Cubs are definitely the sentimental pick, and they're a good pick. I mean, I don't see how they, you know, if they won the World Series, I wouldn't be surprised. Clearly not.
No.
You know, you just go, oh, wow, 1908. That's the only surprise, right?
No, 1989 is going to be our chant come the NLCS. You guys, you watch. We're going to be – it's going to be Giants-Cubs fighting for the NL pennant.
Can they re-sign Will Clark to hit a grand slam off Greg Maddux?
Why not?
Why not?
Maddux can probably still throw the ball.
Yeah, probably. Be an old wrinkled Greg Maddux against a really fat Will Clark.
Maddux wouldn't want to show for that.
That'd be fun. So anyway, you know, do with it what you may. I have not gone back and analyzed the results of the preseason odds for the last 5 years, but it is, at least as a Giants fan, kind of exciting to see that Vegas and a lot of the bettors do think that the Giants have had a pretty good offseason, and I'm sure a lot of hearts are still married to the even year. You know, psychology there. So we'll see.
That's why I can't figure out if they're going to bet that line back up to like 6-1, 5-1, or if that line's going to keep dropping off as we get closer to the season and go to like 8, 9, 10-1.
I think it's going to slip in that direction. I think it was the initial sexiness of the signings and the 2016 thing, and then now people are still really latching onto the Cubs and just the nostalgia of it, the underdog nature of it. You know, I bet the 1 year that the Cubs won the World Series and I won. You know, I think it's kind of like that. Like I said, we all know that they set the initial lines, but the bettors are the ones who move the lines. So it's not Bovada doing this.
It depends on what side the money comes in on. Yep. We'll push the line either direction. Yep.
All right, so I think we talked most of the shop, but we're going to wrap up the podcast here. But what's really exciting is we are heading into spring training here very, very soon. And, of course, the season, we're going to be bringing many, many more podcasts to you. Once the season starts, it's going to be most of the time weekly, depending on our schedules. You know, until then, it's going to be probably every other week or so as we ramp up. You know, I'm hoping to attend spring training. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that would be great. But in the meantime, there are a couple of events that are coming up that I am fortunate enough to cover. Tomorrow, I'm actually going to be driving down to Pebble Beach and covering the San Francisco Giants versus the San Francisco 49ers Chevron Charity Shootout there at Pebble Beach. And so what they do is they play 5 holes of charity golf, and the winner basically it's $100,000 in their name to the charity of their choice. So it's a really, really, really good event, a very memorable event. I did cover it for the first time last year, and I had a freaking blast. I was able to go out onto the putting green during media availability, and I interviewed quite a few players, both from the Giants and the Niners side. Got to talk to Steve Young, Jerry Rice, Rice won't be there this year, unfortunately, but Steve Young will be there again this year. In fact, right now the list is for the Giants. It's going to be Bruce Bochy, Matt Cain, Dwayne Kuiper are going to be golfing on their side. Apparently they're not doing 4 people this year. They're only doing 3, which is really weird. And then on the 49ers side, it's going to be Harris Barton, who's the captain, Brent Jones, the ex-tight end, Steve Young, and Dwight Clark. So
Wait, the Niners get 4 guys, but the Giants only get 3 guys?
This is what I don't understand. That is what is listed currently as of today, so I don't know how they're going to work that out. Now, what I did read on the Pebble Beach site, and they did not do this last year, and if this happens this year, I'm not exactly sure how it's going to happen. They said that the players will have the choice of hitting the golf ball towards their target or using an air cannon to project their golf ball towards their target. And that is news to me, ladies and gentlemen. I have no idea if this is a joke, if they're trolling everyone, or if this is just on one hole, or if this is literally going to happen, where they're going to have an air cannon in which Bruce Bochy can fire his golf ball towards the hole. I have no idea, so I will be there tomorrow. I will be there.
You got to bring your clubs because they need a 4th.
That would be freaking awesome.
All right, so Boach, Kipe, if you guys listen to this between now and getting to Pebble Beach tomorrow, grab Chad. He's going to have his clubs with him. Let him shoot the golf ball cannon.
I'll just throw it for them. Probably hit it better than Boach. But no, it's going to be so much fun tomorrow. It's going to be unbelievable weather. The weather, you know, for the Super Bowl, of course, was incredible. Today, it hit mid-70s here in Gilroy. It's going to be 70 degrees at Pebble Beach tomorrow and sunny. It's going to be beautiful, sunny. I'm bringing the telephoto lens, which I brought last year. I'm going to have incredible photos and videos of everything that's happening. I'm going to try and grab as many interviews as I can on audio. So look for that. So I'm really, really excited. Matt Cain, I actually emailed him last month, and he said he was attending and he was real excited and all that stuff. So hopefully I get to talk to him again this year. And then on Friday,
Willie was fantastic when you that was one of the best bits I've ever heard on the Torture Cast. Folks, if you didn't listen to the last episode, the previous episode to this one, you should listen to it. Chad and Willie did it. And when Chad reads the email to Willie, Willie goes like apoplectic. It is absolutely hilarious. It's one of my favorite bits that Willie I've ever heard him go nuts on. It was so funny. He was just like a kid, a genuine kid gushing. It was so funny.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And what's even more exciting is this Friday, for the fourth time, because we've done it three times, fourth time, we will be covering Media Day at AT&T Park. It's the day before Fan Fest, in which we have about 2 hours to visit the club level, in which they parade out all of the Giants players into 30-minute increments in different cocktail table arrangements, and the larger, more prominent players like the Posies and Bumgarners are in suites of their own, and we get to basically just go interview them one-on-one. And what's really exciting this year is, unfortunately for us, Willie did move to Austin, Texas, so he cannot attend. Ben is going to be at an Apple conference. He cannot attend. And, of course, Eric, you're in Florida.
It's colder where I am.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Now, this is a very strange weather pattern we're in right now. So Eric can't attend. So I reached out to a super fan of the Giants, the internet celebrity of her own, Veronica Belmont, with her 1.7 million. I still can't get over that, by the way. 1.7 million.
That's a lot of people.
Twitter
that's
followers.
It's like a city.
It's ridiculous. It's so stupid. I mean, anyway.
That's more people than are in like Omaha.
Yeah, she has stories about how she got all those Twitter followers in the beginning. But still, it's unbelievable. So anyway, she, of course, is a lot of you might know who she is, but she's a Giants super fan. She's been on the show a couple of times. She's covered a game in the press box with us a couple of years ago. We invited her. She will be there with us, and she has very, very superior interview skills to me. However, she may melt in fandom when she talks to Hunter Pence. So we'll see.
I hope she has a great time. I know she's gonna really enjoy that.
No, so both of us will be there, and she's gonna bring a recorder. I'm bringing a recorder, so we're gonna hit up as many people as we can. What I really hope was gonna happen, I don't think it will, is when we hooked this all up, we scheduled it. She said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be at Media Day for TortureCast." Blah 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 blah. Hunter Pence himself responded to her. He follows Veronica.
Oh, wow.
And basically said, "Oh my gosh, you've got to come over and play video games against Lexi." Of course, Lexi is Hunter's fiance now. And they just bought a $4 million apartment in downtown San Francisco. And I immediately had visions of Veronica and Lexi playing video games in Hunter's apartment. And
yeah,
that pretty much gave me a lot of amazing fantasies. So
I could see that. I totally could see if he's at Media Day, I can see like an oh my god type moment.
And yeah.
Are you doing video or are you just doing audio?
So yeah, I'm planning the last 3 years. If you check out our YouTube channel, I've definitely videotaped every single interview we've ever had. I'm going to try and do the same thing. So
you got to start. Like,
I admit it's a little awkward. It's very easy to set an audio recorder down and just record the interview, but there's so much added value in the video, especially, you know, like I think our Buster Posey interview crossed like 20,000 views or something like that.
Yeah.
From 3 years ago. So yeah, it's things like that that I like to do. So I'm going to try to do video again this year.
You got to put the camera on Veronica if Hunter's there right before you enter where Hunter is, so you can get the immediate, you know, hey, you know. Get the whole, you know, where they both act like little kids, you know, like Hunter acts like all
I'm
the
gonna
time,
try
especially with Lexi.
Yeah, So, you know, Veronica, I said, hey, do you want to split up so we can hit more players? It's really funny because she's a very veteran, experienced, you know, media person. She hosts tech TV shows. She's done a million interviews. She's been MCs for, you know, South by Southwest portions. I mean, she's done so much in her, you know, short lifetime that I figured she's just going to blow this interview apart, this whole day apart. She's like, I'll take over. She said, no, I'm so nervous. I'm just going to stick with you. So she is truly a super fan of the Giants, which is really, really cool to see. But I'll be nervous to interview while she's standing there because I'll be thinking like, oh, my God, I'm asking the dumbest questions and she's thinking I'm dumb, you know. But we'll bring to you what we can, and I'm actually really excited about it. So look for that. That's going to be Friday. And then FanFest, which I've attended a couple of times, and it is a really fun time. I cannot make it this year, so I don't think we have anyone from TorchaCast actually attending. But it's going to be Saturday at AT&T Park, starts at 10 o'clock, goes to about 3, and you have your chance to get autographs from many of the players. In fact, I think they said something like, 28 of the 40-man roster is going to be there. It's going to be an incredible, holy like one of the best turnouts crap. Ever. So if there's any fan fest you're going to attend, this is going to be the one. So head on out there. We'd love to see your videos, pictures, you know, tweet at us at TorchaCast. Let us know, you know, how it goes, and we'll
and be careful out there because
we'd love to retweet it and share it on Facebook.
Yeah, it's a mad rush sometimes to go meet some of the players, I know, from seeing the past few years on Twitter. So be careful. Don't get caught in a stampede.
Yeah, well, the stampedes, and then the other unfortunate thing is that you might go, oh, here's the line for Buster Posey. You realize you're probably more than a half an hour back, and then in 15 minutes, suddenly they all rotate, and then you have the opportunity to get the Ron Modus's autograph, and you kind of go, oh.
You're like, what? I didn't come here for Josh Osich?
Yeah, so that happens. So just be aware that that's what they do. They don't have a player sit there for 3 hours. They de-rotate. They have breaks and all that stuff. So whatever line you do get into, if you're not right in the front, you may not get that player. So just fair warning. But
yeah, but all this goodness right here, the shootout that Chad's gonna be at, the Fan Fest Media Day, Fan Fest, all that means baseball is coming.
Oh man, this is the time of the year that just gets my juices flowing. I don't know what it is, but I know that like in August and September, we kind of get in the doldrums of the year, even if the Giants are in the playoff hunt, which they've been pretty much every year for the last 5 years, and we just kind of go, wow, it's a long season, but this is just fresh, it's new, it's exciting, it's invigorating. I love this time of year. So I just started coaching my daughter's softball team. We had practice tonight. I had so much fun going out there, just throwing the ball around, seeing the girls, you know, doing relay races and trying to throw the ball in the bucket at home plate from second base, and just all these just fun things I haven't done in you know, 6 months. So super excited for baseball right now. I know you are too, Eric.
Wow, you're a regular Tom Omansky, huh?
Sorry, man. I just love this time of year. It's his
favorite. No, that's awesome with the bucket drill. I totally know what you're talking about. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's nice to they'll be back in the spotlight. You know, basketball's fun. The Dubs are fun. You know, it's gonna be nice when they win 71 games this year.
I love the Dubs, but man, it just doesn't match even spring training baseball for me. I know that's sad. No. I know some people are gonna go boo, but no, I love the Warriors, but
it's a seasonal thing. I think it's a seasonal thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's starting to get in the doldrums of the basketball season, right? So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do it for episode 99.2 of the TorchCast. If you want to, you can like us on Facebook. We also have a YouTube channel where we have the three previous years of interviews. Hopefully, we have video interviews coming up from this Friday. And I'm actually going to post videos of the golf tournament tomorrow. I don't know if the interviews are going to be video tomorrow. Last year I did audio. It's a little intrusive to just stick a camera in these guys' face, but we'll see what I can do, even if with my iPhone. You can follow us on Twitter at TorchaCast collectively. Individually, you can follow myself at ChadK21, the absent Ben Lee at Fried Duck, and Willie Dills at Willie Dills, and of course, Eric at 2OutHits, and that's with the number 2.
Puppy Eric, Monkey Baby.
What was that? Oh, no, you did not.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Puppy Monkey Baby. All right, besides that abomination of a Super Bowl commercial, do you have anything else to promote?
No, not at all. I'm just let's play some baseball. 9 days.
Let's play
nine
some
days.
Baseball, baby.
Yeah, I'm ready. Like football ended. I forgot about it already.
I know. You know? Anyway, who won the World Football Series? What was that?
It was a team that like barely won games all year, so didn't resonate with.
They had some rookie like play 7 games and they still made it. I whatever.
That's why Puppy Monkey Baby.
Puppy Monkey Baby. All right, so for Puppy Monkey Baby, Eric, oh my gosh, Ben, Willie, I'm Chad King, signing off on episode 99.2, hopefully episode 99.3, probably not 100, is coming up next time. So look for all of the very, very scintillating nuggets of interviews and video and photos coming down this week. It's going to be a huge deluge of Giants and 49ers photos and videos and content and everything like that. So share amongst your friends. Spread the word. We want to get as many Giants fans on board as we can because this train is moving at about 55 miles an hour and just ramping up for the season. So I hope you all have a great weekend and week, and we'll see you next time. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.